Welcome to the Children's Law Podcast, brought to you by True North Child Advocates, where we believe that advocacy is the answer.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for listening. We're going to have a little different format today. Angela is not with us. It's just me and Jim. We know our voices sound alike, so we hope you can tell us apart. We want to talk today about the issue of adoption. We want to talk about this for a couple of reasons. One is it takes a long time when you're a new practitioner to understand all the ramifications of adoption and everything that comes with and gets taken away by adoption. That takes a long time. Also, people, it's a very individual thing for a lot of people. And just the general feeling about adoption seems to have shifted over the last course of the few years here in the child welfare world, at least. People think of things like Forever Family and National Adoption Day, which is a big party, right, where everyone is celebrating. Has there been a shift? We feel like there has been a shift as more awareness of the importance of attachment, the trauma associated with the removal of children from their parents, and the role of culture and identity has all spread. One child welfare leader in our community said, "I consider every adoption to be a form of a loss because we didn't reunite that family." So just consider the two landmark pieces of federal legislation of the last 40 years. One, the Adoption and Safe Families Act. The other, the Families First Act. Even the names indicate a dramatic shift in priority or preference of which way they want child welfare to swing. And we've talked about that pendulum before and how it swings in child welfare, sometimes very dramatically, right? And the impacts of these two pieces of legislation are even more dramatically different. Jim, how do you feel about it?
How do I feel about it? I think it's best expressed, if I paraphrase a quote from Winston Churchill, adoption is the worst solution, except when you consider all the other possible solutions. And I think that's the situation a lot of our clients find themselves in. And I think it's the situation a lot of children's attorneys find themselves in. Whatever your thoughts are personally, you need to be aware of your biases towards adoption or your feelings about them, so you know if they're impacting your advocacy. Because ultimately the question is going to be, how is adoption going to impact your singular client? So we want to talk a little bit about the impact of adoption on kids. You know, there was a time when adoption was seen as the cure to the large number of kids in foster care, caused in part by lumbering bureaucracies and made worse by drug epidemics like the crack cocaine epidemic of decades ago. So with the flood of kids overcrowding the foster care system, ASFA, or the Adoption Safe Families Act, was the federal government saying, now parents, you got 12 months to comply or face termination of your parental rights. And, you know, it used to be 18 months prior, at least in Florida, 18 months was the life of a case plan. So that changed dramatically with ASFA. And that's been the law ever since. Now, the truth is, not every child who went through the courthouse doors for a termination of parental rights trial and exited as an orphan from trial went on to find an adoptive home. Many who did get adopted realize a full and happy life from there, and many who got adopted realize that adoption is not the simple, happy solution that everyone hoped it would be. So that's one of the problems that came out of a lot of adoptions from foster care, disregarding that prior to that, kids had been spending 18 months on the norm in foster care, but really 18 months, as we all know, probably was more like 2 years, 2.5 years, 3 years. And so when you had these kids with these multiple years in foster care, with multiple placements throughout foster care, you started to see some really rough adoption outcomes. And that's probably been a benefit to shrinking the length of time in care to 12 months under ASFA, is that you reduce the amount of moves and the amount of attachment problems these kids might have if you make the hard decisions faster. And that's just a hard truth of our system.
Right. Well, and children's attorneys need to kind of know this stuff and know the ramifications, because you only see it if you've been practicing for a while and you start to put the pieces together. and the puzzle becomes clear. So like that lack of awareness of the role of attachment is often, not always, but is often the cause of failed adoption, right? So when a lot of these couples encountered children who had attachment issues or even full-on RAD, they didn't know how to parent them, and we did not equip them. And so that's where we are seeing more and more of the failed adoptions outspringing, as you said, Jim, springing from the well-intentioned of ASFA, right? So that's the thing with sweeping changes to child welfare is you're going to have some consequences that you did not anticipate, right? No matter what you do. So one of the consequences that was very interesting was that many of the kids who ended up coming back into the system or never getting adopted, being made into legal orphans, many of these kids became the voice of youth in foster care, aging out of the system and advocating for themselves and the next generation of foster kids, saying that removal was the most harmful thing that ever happened to them, and they should have been left with their parents with services in place and never even removed, let alone made into legal orphans. And now we have the family's first generation, right? We have many kids avoiding the trauma of removal and being left in their homes with multiple evidence-based services being put in place to preserve their families. And, you know, what will be the impact of this effort?
Exactly. The point is that this pendulum continues to swing. You've heard us talk about the pendulum that our profession is on, from family preservation to safety removal. If it helps, think of it like this child welfare is constantly trying to build the right size fish net. Oh, we're catching too many fish. We're not catching enough fish. We're bringing too many kids into the system. We're leaving too many kids at risk at home. But the impact on our practice and our clients is real when that pendulum swings. A child may lose everything about their birth family, their culture, their identity, their religion, the parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, even their siblings. But a child may also gain everything from adoption, a functioning family, a healthy ability to attach to other humans, a life free from a cycle of abuse or mental illness or substance abuse that may have been present in the birth family for generations. Adoption's got to be in the children's attorney's tool belt. But let's talk about that. We talked about the stakes now for your client. Let's talk about what is the role of the children's attorney in this process. And we go back to the basics. The role of the child's attorney is to know your client. If you know your client well and all the dynamics affecting them, their bond with their parents, their sibling relationships, their resilience, their ability to form a new attachment or inability to do so, their mental health needs, the facts of their case. Adoption is about the risk of harm from the continued pursuit of reunification versus the risk of harm due to the permanent loss of their birth family. That's kind of an easy equation to keep in mind. It's not perfect, but it certainly can help in your analysis. And you can't do that math if you don't have the necessary facts about your client that you need to do the math with. I have a 13-year-old client now who was part of a large sibling group. She has been in the system probably since she was 3 months old. She was not my client until about 6 months ago or so. But the bottom line is she says to us now, you all should have terminated my mother's rights when I was an infant. She has literally been in multitudes of foster homes, treatment centers, group homes now. Her mother is still in her life. Rights are not terminated. And it's just that she is fully aware of what this journey has done to her. And what affected her, by way of example, is the gravitational pull of a large sibling group. And you'll see this with cases with large sibling groups where the 15, 16-year-olds have a low risk with mom and an incredible bond because they've been raised with her. And yet the age range of this huge sibling group goes all the way down to infants. And so the infants get thrown in with the 14-year-olds. And before you know it, as in this child's life, years have passed and no one has done what would have been done had she been a solo infant brought into the system with a mother who was this dysfunctional. So when she says her rights should have been terminated, it's instructive and it's informative, and it should inform our practice, because always looking back in hindsight is sort of the best teacher for our profession.
It is. Right, right. It is. That's true. That's true. There's value in hearing from children who were adopted, children who were not adopted, and from adoptive parents. We just had a staff member actually had to have a procedure that required anesthesia. And when she woke up from the anesthesia, the nurse said, "Do you know John and Jim Walsh?" And she said, "Yes, I work with them. And they're my bosses." And she said, "When you were coming out of the anesthesia, you were talking about group homes and foster care. And I thought you might know them. They did my adoption of my child several years ago. I adopted two boys out of foster care, and they handled the case." Jim did, actually. And she said, "I've heard that the mother has had more children. They are in the system too, and I want to get my kids in touch with their siblings," which is really nice. But, you know, that sibling group continued on, right? And these kids are doing very well by what we've heard with their mom, who is a nurse, their adoptive mom, who is a nurse. But their birth family is still struggling, right? Had more children back in the system. So potentially, but for the timing of those two young children being adopted by this nurse, they would be part of a sibling group and would be enduring multiple stays in foster care, you know, removals, different placements, and everything that goes with that. So adoption is there as a tool. It's an option. It is not a good thing on its own, and it is not a bad thing on its own. It is a remedy for your client, if your client needs that remedy. If you're new to the field, and this all sounds very daunting, it can be. But here's the good news. Very often, these decisions are taken out of our hands, even the judge's hands. Very, very often, adoption is pursued because parents have left the court no other real choice. But the impact can still be just as real, which is why it is crucial for us as children's attorneys to understand what adoption means, what comes with it, the baggage that comes with it, the gain and the loss that comes with it. And it's also why a child's attorney needs to be so intimately involved in the creation and monitoring of the case plan, because that is the document that should be the roadmap that leads to reunification or adoption. And if you design the map and you are reading the map, then you can plan for the destination, and you can assess whether your client is a candidate for that destination. So, you know, we invite you to put aside your own personal feelings about adoption and put yourself instead in the shoes of that child client and ask, what's my best option? What is my best option here? And just keep this in mind from your client, the moment your client enters the system, that adoption is an option. It is one we would like to avoid, but it should always be in your tool belt. We do plan to bring you an episode with an adoption competent therapist, and we think that there's a lot of value in having this knowledge base. It really can help you and inform your decisions when you really understand it from the perspective of an adoption specialist and an adoptee. And this guest we're planning to bring you is both of those things. So thank you for listening. Please leave us a 5-star rating, subscribe. It really helps other people find us. And we will be back next time with our adoption guest and with more episodes for you.
You've been listening to the Children's Law Podcast, brought to you by True North Child Advocates. Please take a moment to subscribe and spread the word. Thank you.